1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here. We got a dream team today. We've got half returning, some returning many times vets, and we got Father coming back to join us as well. We've also got Chris. Kate, I'm not even going to introduce Kate. And then we've got Robert in the studio today, too. So we're gonna go around. We're going to do some fun facts. We're going to dive into the meat of this episode. I'm really excited about talking about y'all's brand new show right here on The Quest. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, would you mind leading us?
I'd be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the many blessings you pour out into our lives. So many times we get sidetracked and we just see the negative, but we want to be like that one man who was healed, who came back out of the 10. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. Help us to see things from your perspective and to see the blessings that you constantly pour out on us. We ask you to guide us in our show today as we pray together, asking Mary for her intercession for us. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome, Father. Thanks so much. I'm not allowed to grade prayers on the show anymore. I was told not to grade prayers, but I wouldn't have graded yours anyway because you're clergy. That being said, were I to grade it, totally subjective.
Yep.
Phenomenal prayer. That was really wonderful.
I thought you were going to give me a 3 out of 10.
Never.
Oh, my gosh.
The first time I just shot from the hip and decided that was a rule about not grading clergy's prayer, because obviously it's not. I was interviewing, I interviewed Cardinal Burke.
Yeah.
And he, producer Julian, was sitting in the producer's chair, and he opens us with prayer or closes us in prayer. And as soon as he does, Julian looked at me, because a lot of times I was like, that's pretty good, 92, right? Or whatever, but not about to do that.
You kept it closed that time.
His eminence.
That was smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I need to let all of our guests know that producer Julian is not in studio today. He's taking a sabbatical. He's less than a week ago. He had a brand new baby, brand new little
that's
boy.
Exciting.
So please, prayers for him, prayers for his bride, prayers for the whole Saviano family. All right, well, before we kick it off and start talking about your show, I would love to go around real fast and just tell us who you are, give us a fun fact. You new guys, though, I think you got to give us two. Those returning, Father, who might have given us our least fun fact ever.
Really?
That we've gotten. That was pretty rough. It was about your medical. What?
I thought it was pretty awesome. I mean,
okay, I guess the end of it is. I got to
almost die of a heart attack and then cancer. I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
Exciting.
Yeah, you're right. By the time we got to the end, maybe halfway through your fun fact, it was briefly the most sort of off-putting, nerve-wracking fun fact.
Actually, I was meeting with Chris earlier today, and he asked me, like, what are you going to share with your fun fact today? And I said, I don't really have nothing really exciting. I mean, I played the trumpet for Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict, but, so I figured I'd show that.
Phenomenally interesting, but, like,
way more fun than cancer and heart attack.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll grant you that. What context were you playing
that? So I was a seminarian studying in Rome.
Sure.
And I played the trumpet in our band.
Nice.
And we got called on a couple different occasions to play for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So on one occasion, when Bishop Jivish, who was the personal secretary of Pope John Paul II, was made a bishop, he had the reception at our house, and John Paul II came over.
Come on.
I was a seminarian, and I got to see John Paul II right up close.
Come on.
And we played, our band played for him, so it was really cool. And then on another occasion, when Pope Benedict was still Cardinal Ratzinger, we went up to the Eucharistic Congress in Bologna, Italy, and we played a bunch of songs there at the Eucharistic Congress. And so we played for Cardinal Ratzinger.
That is so cool. He's the only pope I've ever seen. I was in Rome and got to see him. I got within about 10 feet, when
that's
he's sort of
cool.
Walking through the crowd there. It was pretty great.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I'm not a good trumpet player. So I only got into the band with the trumpet because I actually played the guitar better, but they had a lot of guitarists.
Right.
And they said, did you play anything else? And I said, I played the French horn. And then they said, well, we don't have a French horn. You play anything else? And I said, well, I played the trumpet for 3 months in third grade.
Perfect.
Before I took up the French horn.
Right.
So I said, here's a trumpet for you.
Oh, but aren't you glad you did, right?
Somewhat.
That opened some doors.
It certainly did.
Great experience. That is a very fun fact, Father. Knocked it out of the park. That's phenomenal. All right, you got to give us two, Chris.
All right. I am just back from the Adirondacks, Lake George, New York.
Awesome.
Which most people don't know.
I know the Adirondacks.
Birthplace of the U.S. Navy.
Really? Okay, cool.
The British and American troops or Navy fought on Lake George over the top of Lake George, Fort Ticonderoga, because you control both Lake George and Lake Champlain. So, very first naval battle.
That was the first naval battle.
1776.
That's wild. That's cool. Why were you there? Just vacation? Or?
My wife's family has property going back to the 1800s on Lake George.
Awesome.
So, we go there every summer.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so.
But it still only counts as one.
Okay. So, I also, as I got back from Lake George, I had an impromptu family reunion with a cousin of mine and some other cousins, one of which I had not seen in 40 years, because my grandmother, my grandfather died in the 70s, my grandmother died in 1991. She had 12 children.
Praise be to God.
The oldest one died young, and the youngest one never had kids. But from those 10, I had 52 first cousins.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Right, so I didn't know them all. You know,
right.
So. Yeah, I hadn't seen this one.
That's
since,
cool. I like that.
The early 80s. Hmm.
We have a family at our school who the matriarch of the family, I believe she's a great grandmother now. I don't think she's a great great grandmother, but she had her children very young. She had 10 or 12 kids. Almost all of them had 10 or 12 kids, and now she's seeing the great-grandchildren come up, and we just got sort of a group text last year that said, Mrs., this woman, the matriarch of this family, just had her 100th child, grandchild, or great-grandchild, like 100th prodigy,
wow,
prodigy come from her. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
If we do it right, we are the Israelites. You start to, understand, right?
Abraham would be proud.
Exactly. Go team. What you got over there, Katie? I think you can give out just one today.
Just one. Well, first of all, it's good to be back with everybody.
It's good to see
some new faces, and I'm glad to be with everybody. And glad to meet you, Father.
Doesn't count as a fun fact.
I know that. I'm just making a statement. So I don't know how fun this fact is, but it is very true. It's not fake news. I had a fear. So the fact is I'm ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
And I trained myself to be ambidextrous. I'm dominantly right-handed, but I trained myself when I was about 13 or 14 years old because my aunt was a personal caregiver like myself and she took care of a woman that was paralyzed on her right side from a car accident, and she had to learn how to be left-handed and do everything with her left hand. And I thought to myself, oh, well, what if that happens to me? Am I going to be ready? So if something happens to this hand, I will be ready. I will literally be ready. So I don't know. And it's, you know what's hilarious, John Henry, is I actually injured my left rotator cuff in college. So after all of that work of training myself to be left-handed, it was the non-dominant side that got injured, that was affected. So that was a very interesting full circle moment for me.
Well, I appreciate you being on the team. I'm left-handed, and there's not many of us. The biggest frustration, in fact, the only real major hurdle in my life that I've had to jump over by virtue of my dominant hand is, as a teacher, writing on the board, right? It used to be chalk, and now it's dry erase marker. I erase everything that I write.
And then it gets all over your
So I have to write sort of in this strange way, like my hand's a bird beak holding the pencil or the marker. So, finally, we got you, Robert. I'm so excited. It's been quite the journey to get here today for you, and we really appreciate you joining us in studio.
It's almost as if it was a quest. And thank you to the quest, and thank you to you, John Henry, from Auburn, Alabama, where I'm an anchor and reporter for Right Side Broadcasting Network, and we have a show on Thursday night as well at 6 o'clock that is called The Voice of Reason, where we dive into culture, politics, a dash of Western charm, and all things under the sun, more or less. So it's been really a pleasure to do all of that and be here with you today.
Fantastic. We're glad you're here. I think that was like somehow three or four fun facts all melded into statement. No, that's amazing. And Robert just drove here, tires screeching into the parking lot right before we started recording. So,
and it's a gorgeous night here in Roswell.
It is, man. Always a little warm, but that's good. That's good. So I want to jump in and talk about. I want to focus kind of on Father and Chris for a minute, because word on the street is that there's a brand new show, a couple weeks old.
Well,
right, on the
John Henry, Chris is the mastermind. Like this was his concept. He puts it together. And I just come and have fun. So for me, it's a great gig.
Sure.
Because I don't have to do any work other than, you know, answering some questions. But Chris, he's a mastermind. So I think he should give a little explanation and kind of the rationale behind this new show.
Yeah, please do. What you got going on?
I don't think there's any masterminding. It's just that I'm a news hound. And the idea of the show is to take the secular news sources and come up with some Catholic angles to ask my Catholic priest here as my co-host. And so we talk about only the stuff that's recently in the news, mm-hmm. and I have about four or five sources, and basically it has to come from one of those sources, and so it's all relevant. It's all kind of mainstream things that most people are reading about.
So not church-related. Are these are secular sources? Or
secular sources only.
Great.
And the stories, we kind of, you know, ask what the Catholic angle on some of these stories would be.
Well, and the really fun thing about this, John Henry, is that I don't get to see the topics beforehand.
Okay.
So he does all the preparatory work. We come into the studio, and he just drops it on me.
I love it.
And so it's kind of an exercise in spontaneity and asking the Holy Spirit to guide us. And hopefully I don't say anything heretical or too crazy.
Right.
But so far...
Don't preach heresy.
Definitely trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely it's been a lot of fun, and I think we both enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, great.
We're going to make sure that we put the information in the show, where to find it, link it all down there in the show notes. But can you just give us a real quick, here's where it is on the Quest, on the app, all that stuff?
The name of the show is Crossed Wires, and we air Saturdays at 1 p.m. with a re-airing every Sunday at 2 p.m. And as with everything, it's downloadable as a podcast on thequestatlanta.com.
And the whole idea behind the name, Crossed Wires, there's, you know, double entendre there, a little play on words. It's crossed because, you know, Christ at the center.
Oh, see, I didn't even pick up on that. I like that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's crossed because we got two different, you know, opinions, and sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about it, we air, we dialogue about it. And it's wires because it's... And we got these microphones with wires on them. So it ties back to radio.
Well, I want to hear what you argue about. You got any good, what do you disagree? I assume neither of you are guilty of formal heresy or anything like that.
No. We try to avoid that.
Good.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would recommend.
We've argued on, like, practical applications on things or a slight difference of opinion. Or maybe we thought we disagreed on something, but then we come to realize, oh, I guess you bring up a good point there that modifies my opinion a little bit. There was something in our last show that we recorded that we weren't exactly aligned at the beginning.
Yeah, the one that jumps to my mind was a couple shows ago where we were talking about the city in Illinois that was eminent domain, that was threatening to eminent domain Pope Leo's childhood home.
Right, right.
No way.
Right.
Okay.
And so, you know, my take was that, you know, the state is only interested in Christianity when it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, this is a home in a neighborhood that it's not like they're taking some park where some battle was fought that's open land.
Right.
This was a home in a neighborhood. And, you know, ultimately what happened was they were able to acquire the house through other means, but they were threatening eminent domain. And I was thinking, okay, this is not right. Let's say somebody was living in this home and they're really just trying to get it because of the tourist dollars. And, you know, yet everything else they might do at the state level would be, you know, contra religion or anti-Catholic.
Sure.
But when it's convenient and, you know, for the almighty dollar, then hey, we're going to eminent domain. So that was my take. I think you had a little...
I had a slightly different take, but we had another case was the noise cameras.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you were upset because it was like noise cameras are this thing in certain cities now where they're actually measuring the decibels of your vehicles as they're passing by, and they catch you on camera.
Oh, I thought you were thinking about the gunshot.
No,
it's just how loud your car is.
They catch you on camera, like if you exceed certain decibels, and then they send you a fine, and it's a pretty hefty fine.
Right.
And so Chris was kind of taking the example or the side, like, you know, that's government overreach. And I was like, well, if it's really loud, it's probably good for the community to have some limits. But then we talked about, like, actual levels of decibels.
83 decibels.
83 decibels.
What's 83 decibels? Can you guess what 83 decibels?
Train horn.
Nope.
Lawnmower.
Okay.
Window unit, air conditioner.
Right.
Okay. So you go above that, you automatically get snapped, and a ticket gets sent to you in the mail for $250.
Wow.
Wonderful.
I actually don't even hate the idea of you getting ticketed for nuisances and stuff as much as I hate the idea of a machine making a call about you. If there's a police guy there, policeman, you're causing a nuisance, right? You've got your car muffler off and blaring music through giant subwoofers. I kind of get that.
Or the surveillance state, you know, that
it's the 1984 element that I don't
like. That's what I don't like either.
Yeah.
Robert, is your show similar? This is the first time I've ever heard of what you've got going on over there in Auburn.
So what we do there is an opening monologue and then usually 1 to 3 different interviews regarding a whole plethora on a variety of the culture, politics, sports, music, just everything happening within that. So questions like that, eminent domain, absolutely come up. The things that are happening in Washington that can affect your neck of the woods. And, of course, with many other shows, too, we always ask around those viewers across the country, please tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods. With the new media especially, I feel like we have that opportunity to really find and be a voice for the voiceless with the way technology is now. So that's a side effect of the blessings of it. Of course, AI comes up a lot and the great opportunities there, the scary situations happening as well, including my Bible study. We're actually looking at Pope Leo already in his pontificate and going back to Pope Leo the 13th, because at that time, the advancements in technology and how much that helped people, but also the dignity of work and how people right now, like then, did not necessarily were able to change right into a whole different field right off the bat. So it's interesting to compare both popes in rather a span of time where technology has advanced so rapidly.
Absolutely. You used the term new media a minute ago. I've heard that term a lot recently, but I work for an AM radio station, so I'm not up to date on new media, I don't think. What does that mean?
You know, I consider it something where it's voices that have traditionally, I guess, not been welcome in the mainstream or the legacy media, or let's just say the corporate media. Sure. There's different definitions for that. And we can generally say in Washington, D.C. or political terms, that would be roughly left of center. And of course, with, you know, Katie mentioning the fake news and that label that's happened roughly during the Trump era, some deservedly so, some not so much. And then what we break down is that we were created a decade ago by Joe Seals at Right Side Broadcasting Network simply to cover these events. Because what's been interesting and really phenomenal in a lot of ways with American politics between Barack Obama and Donald Trump, whether or not you agree with the two men or disagree with them, they've drawn so much crowds and so many new people to the political movement. Sure. And I don't think we've seen something quite like that maybe since Teddy Roosevelt. And I mean, because we even had an opportunity to talk to the president on the campaign trail, and he mentioned, wow, Ronald Reagan was a cultural icon, but maybe you get 200, 300 people at a rally when you're talking about hundreds of thousands in some cases. Right. And it's really an interesting time to be involved with it.
I think it's interesting, Robert, that you talk about people that aren't involved in politics. I know people that are involved in politics now that were not prior to the Obama era, the Obama administration, were never interested in any politics at all. And when somebody as unique and I would say exceptional, but not everybody would say exceptional about Donald Trump, you know, somebody as different about exceptional as Donald Trump, you know, it really draws a new, what you call a new generation of politics, as well as news. And it, you do have to kind of evolve with that, you know. So I would think there would be a lot of evolving, a lot of adapting, a lot of you know, diversity like you talk about. So, but I definitely know a lot of people in my family that definitely were not following politics, and because of a certain politician are following now. So.
Such an excellent point. Mm-hmm. And to the point, John Henry, that you're saying about, I'm in AM radio, it's almost as if it's going back to that with the long form. You see Joe Rogan Experience and other podcasts that are out there. People are talking for hours at some times, and people are diving into those shows rather than those clips that you get with the legacy. So turn on Fox, CNN to MSNBC and the whole host of them. It's, oh, we have to go. Sorry to cut you off. But, you know, and sometimes that person has about 30 seconds to make that point, where sometimes these things really need to be ironed out and discussed, and maybe even a second show or a revisit of them down the road. Sometimes you don't get that in-depth dive.
Well, it happens to us all the time, right? We have two 27 and a half minute segments on this show, and I can't tell you how often I'm having to wrap stuff up and thinking, oh my goodness, why can't we spend three more hours talking about X, Y, or Z? So it's pretty cool. I'm a fan. I guess this is a question sort of open to everybody here, because I bet y'all are going to have some takes on it as well. And I have an answer, but I won't share mine. Why is it? You mentioned legacy media, corporate media, whatever you want to call them, right? I was just reading some poll the other day, or listening to somebody talk about some poll the other day, about how the trust in the media almost couldn't go any lower, which makes sense for why there's this, like you said, this sort of, not resurgence, but emergence of the new media, all of that kind of stuff. So give me something else. Give me something other than these guys. I have sort of a politically incorrect, imprecise way to phrase what I think the issue is, but I don't know, what are y'all's thoughts?
Chris, you're the news junkie here. What's your thought on this?
I do find it interesting. I think your description of inside the Beltway as being center left, and I think of that being an apropos description of what the legacy news media was. I don't think that's the case now. So we have had, mostly because of the internet, these alternative voices emerge, like Drudge Report, when they came and sort of disrupted things. We've had this new angle that now makes Fox News is the most popular, you know, the most watched television broadcast for news, where you had sort of one source back in the 70s. 80s and whatnot, ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Yeah, but they were Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, and so, and I would describe probably their take as being definitely more centrist than what we have today in the news media, but it was probably center-left. But I'll tell you, emergence of these alternate voices has made me really sort of question a lot of what I was fed by the news back in the 70s and 80s when I was growing up. I wonder what the real story was, if there was something different about the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. Were we getting somebody's take that was pushing an ideology? I know that I've got friends whose fathers fought in the Vietnam War, and they're disgusted. And this was way before the Drudge Report, with the way the news media depicted them and what happened over there. And, you know, I really kind of wonder if there was a different angle that was really easily accessed, like things are today on the internet, what the stories would have come out of Vietnam being.
Well, I think that goes back to your question, John Henry, about why the distrust in the media. Mm-hmm. Because now with these alternative sources, people are constantly seeing that, well, that's not true. This other person's here. Here's a video that shows something else. And you come across the stories of doctoring of interviews and changing scenes. Sure. And it is just bringing down trust in those who are, you know, conveying this message from the media. So the challenge with this is that we are ever more disintegrated as a country, because everyone's going to their own sources, and we're in many respects losing the capacity to dialogue.
Right.
And I think this is where the Catholic Church is poised in such a powerful way to engage our culture today, because we have a reference not merely to political factions, but to truth. And that truth is not an abstract idea. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the more that we can turn to Christ, I think that's part of the reason too why the so many young men are turning back to Catholicism.
The numbers are amazing.
It's mind blowing. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful time to live. It's exciting time, confusing time, but that's why we have shows like Honest to God.
Exactly, and Crossed Wires. Right?
That's right.
And what is it?
And The Voice of Reason.
The Voice of Reason.
Thursday nights at 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's a great name.
What a combo. For this show. Powerful trio here.
Heck yeah. No, that's fantastic. I think my less precise language for why I think the trust is down so far is the internet was the beginning of this trickle, and then COVID was the dam breaking. I think all of a sudden, the legacy, corporate, whatever media overplayed their hand really hard. And I think it just pulled the wool from the eyes of so many people. All of a sudden, there was lie after lie after lie that the media was being caught in. And I think it was great. I mean, I think it is one of the fruits of COVID. I'm not trying to downplay COVID, but I think that there were a lot of major benefits, right? That happened, right? And as a result, God brought so much good from it in regards to shifts in the public education, in regards to our the way that we perceive our media and the way our politicians talk to it. I just see, like, all the time I'm thinking about it. But one of the biggest fruit, I think, is the fact that we now have these young people, somebody who works with young people, who are all of a sudden realizing, wait a minute, there's so much chaos. There's so much craziness going on out there. What's really important in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we're having them come back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John Henry, I think, you know, as somebody that is pretty regular on Honest to God show,
absolutely.
I think back to the day we filmed our COVID episode and how much there was a point that I remember, because I had to go and rewatch the video for that point that you had said that during COVID we had points of contention during Catholic and Protestant. And it was something along those lines. Yeah. We'd have to go back.
That sounds like something I would say. I trust you.
Yeah, points of contention. And I just, that rung true in my head for such a long time. And it makes me think of the points of contention in media, particularly in, you know, conservative versus liberal media. And as much as I don't want to play devil's advocate, I kind of have to very briefly. I actually like the idea that we have shows like The View and shows like, you know, all of these news network shows. Like, I think it's called Morning Joe on CNN or MSNBC. I don't know. But, you know, all of these shows that I personally disagree with politically, but they still give us, John Henry, those points of contention.
Sure.
To get us, you know, snapping at each other. And it's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it doesn't really look good, but it gets people thinking and it gets people using their judgment and their perception. And I feel like that can be a great thing for Catholicism as well. And it can be a great thing for retention in the church and bringing back, you know, people to the faith as well.
Well, it goes back to what Father was saying. There's all these young people just on, all of a sudden, young people in particular, on fire for their faith. And I do think that the pendulum swung so far in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
For so long, I mean, I was born in 89, I'm a millennial, and the apathy in my was almost palpable through all those. No one cared. And what I'm seeing now, about anything, and now all of a sudden I'm seeing young people in droves who care, one way or the other, but they do care. Mm. They're passionate. I think that fire is good. There was this guy a long time ago, Father, I think you might have heard of him, who said, "Be hot or cold, the lukewarm I will spew from my mouth."
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think there's something to that. We have about a minute before we go to break. One thing I do want to say, and what I'd kind of like to kick off the next segment with, is I feel like one major downside to the infinite number of news networks and shows and stations and what has been, all of a sudden it becomes a lot harder to live in the here and now and care about the things that actually matter. Your primary vocation, like mine is, right, that we all share, which is salvation, and secondary vocations, my bride and my children and all these things, because it's so easy for me to get in the car, pop in my earbuds, and listen to the Matt Walsh show or something. So I want to talk about sort of that from a subsidiarity standpoint, if you're comfortable doing that, Father.
Sure.
When we come back. But right now, we got to go, because it's time, and I'm getting the signal. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all, thank you so much for being here, guys. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We will be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160 The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are still rocking and rolling. We got Robert, we got Katie, we got Chris, and we got Father Brandenburg in here. It is a party, and I want to pick up right where we last left off and then get into some of the weeds. And I really want to talk here in a little bit about specifics of what are you covering right now? What's going on? As everyone knows, every episode of Honest to God is filmed live. It is currently 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon. It's not 2 weeks before. It is right now. And so we can be a little bit topical with what we're talking about.
Great.
Yeah. but I want to start where we ended the last segment, right? And I'm not saying I don't care about y'all's takes, but I really care about your take, Father.
Put me on the spot.
So, no offense all the time. Taken. Thanks
is
a
it,
lot.
Is it at least somewhat? Do you think that there is some disorder, right, to being hyper-obsessed with national and global news, right, when the vast majority of us have families? No, not that. Every single one of us has a vocation that is not does not primarily revolve mm-hmm. around what's going on globally and in the United States of America. I mean, I always think about the people in the 100 years ago, right? 200 years ago, before radio came out and was sort of the first mass media mm-hmm. option that there was.
Well, newspapers came before that.
That's fair. That's fair, right? But I would have to wait weeks for the newspaper to come if I wanted something from New York or telegram wires, right? Come and speed that up. But I'm just saying, for the vast majority of human history, we have concerned ourselves primarily with what was happening within a couple mile radius of us.
Right.
Actually, even secondarily, primarily what was happening in my house and on my property with my wife, my children, and my, you know, my mm-hmm. field or whatever. Is there something disordered? And if so, what do we do about that? How can we balance that?
It's a great question, John Henry. I think that if we get overly concerned about things that we don't need to be overly concerned about, there's disorder there. And oftentimes we can get anxious, worried about things that we really have no control over. And I don't think that's coming from God. On the flip side, I think that if we go into putting our heads into the sand mm-hmm. and being oblivious to the world around us and what God wants us to do of good, that's also problematic. So finding the proper balance, I think, depends a lot on, you know, what is your specific vocation in mm-hmm. life? What are your responsibilities? What's your state of life? Where are you located? What's your career? So, for example, I mean, Chris, you know, we talk a lot in our show with Cross Wires, and he's a news junkie. You know, your prior profession, as a commodities trader, you had to be on top of what was going on in the news.
Sure.
And it wasn't just a hobby. It, for me, as a Catholic priest, and I work with a mission organization, Catholic World Mission, where mm-hmm. we're helping the church in over 35 different countries around the world, I need to be in touch with what's going on in, you know, conflicts in Africa, or, you know, what's the repression of the church in Eastern Asia. So I need to stay up on the news, and then I also waste time with political news.
Sure.
I'm a little bit of a news junkie as well.
Right.
So finding the proper balance, but I think, and a criteria here that can help is, are you reading the news as just a hobby or just unhealthy interest?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you reading it to really see things as God sees them and do the good that you're called to do? Is that leading to anxiety and worry about things that you really shouldn't be worried about, or distraction from what you should be worried about? Then it's disordered.
Sure. I found myself, I had a conversation with my spiritual director about this, I found myself watching the lead-up coverage to the election, right? The mm-hmm. 2024 election, like it was the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right? I wanted to win, and I could give you some good, wholesome reasons why the guy wanted to win. I won't say who he was. He was a male.
We can't guess.
I could give you some good philosophical reasons, right? Why
sure.
I think as a Catholic But that in the moment, I wanted them to lose as much as I wanted to win. And it was gross, and I realized that there was some disorder going on in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently... My recent suggestion from my spiritual director is I've got a 15-minute morning news podcast that I can listen to, and then I need to leave it alone. That's my current prescription.
You've got a good spiritual right director.
I've got an amazing spiritual director.
That's some sage advice
yeah.
there.
Yeah, he's a good one. I think temperament has a lot to do with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was spending way too much time listening to sort of your Matt Walsh, love Matt Walsh, but just mm-hmm. that kind of gut punching, rah, 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 I'm grumpy about this, let's talk about why. And I think there was some prudence in there. What about you? What do you think?
Well,
you
yeah.
do this for a living.
Well, we really try to bring some hope to it all, because there is generally, whether it is the legacy items, the new media, however you want to categorize it, mm-hmm. some fear involved. And that's so great about The Quest and your show, John Henry. It's the idea that there is hope at the end of the tunnel. And I completely agree with Father in his analysis there, because look at John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, their relationship, second and third president, as they ended up their careers, if you will. The thing that always gets me about Jefferson is, if you look at his grave, it's not mentioned about being president, vice president, secretary of state, but rather invoking and writing the Declaration of Independence, the Virginia statutes to liberty, religious liberty specifically, and the father and president initially of the University of Virginia.
Right.
That's what he was proud of. So you see back to the founding of our country and our constitutional republic, and that it is truly one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. This is God's vision for this great nation. If we forget that, we go down a bad path. Now, to that point as well, I believe it was Jefferson who said, in regards to media, if you do not read the local newspaper, you are uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
If you start consuming different arenas of media and around you, you're misinformed. So it's almost this beautiful kind of context of how they kept historical context inside of the right terms. They knew what came before them, and they really did seemingly attempt to, under God and acknowledging that there was this divine being who brought this all about, all of the best implementations of the Western civilized world at the time into what we now know as nearly 250 years of this young nation that's changed the entire world for the better, I would argue.
No, 100%. I think it is a great thing about being a Catholic, sort of living in all of this. And when you get frustrated and feel like, oh, you're down and everything, the church, I mean, obviously Christ wins in the end, right? The battle's won. Go team, right? That's awesome. But one thing I'm always having to take a step back, especially when I'm getting into church politics or whatever, is the church thinks in centuries, right? Many generations, right? The fact that I'm frustrated right now about X, Y, or Z, in the grand scheme of things, it's okay. Because it is okay. Because Jesus Christ founded the church, promised us that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. It's okay. It's just tough, the whole human nature concupiscence thing, and having to deal with all of that. Come on, is there anything we can do about that, Father?
We can let go. Actually, I tell guys a lot of times in spiritual direction, because I have about 70 or 80 people in spiritual direction, and a lot of times people get wrapped around the axle with stuff that's going on in their lives or what's going on in the world, and they get anxious, nervous about things. And I remind people all the time, you know, there's really only one thing that you can control. And sometimes we delude ourselves and we think there's a lot of things we can control. There's a lot of things we can influence. Don't get me wrong. We can influence a lot of things. But there's really only one thing we control. And that's what we choose to let go of.
I like that.
And if we can remember that God's God and he's going to restore justice in the universe and he's going to judge at the end of time, I don't have to take God's place. Mm-hmm. And I can let go of those things. I can be informed about them. I can try to influence them for good. But God's God and he's got this.
I can
let go of that.
No, 100%. It makes me think of a comic I saw a long time ago. And basically the context is this guy saying, man, God is so lucky to have me. Right? And the joke is like, come on, what are you doing? Right? Yeah, good job on what you're doing, what you're not. You know, work on what you're not doing. But at the end of the day, it's going to be good. I do want to get into some brass tacks a little bit. This was something that came up when we were off air a minute ago. How do you know in the news today what's real and what's fake? I mean, along with the sort of decline of the corporate media, the rise of the new media, all of this new stuff from social media, the internet in general, right? Every conspiracy theory in the world seems like it's bubbled up to the top. Lots of stuff that we were told was a conspiracy theory a few years ago is now just established fact that is true, right? And it's crazy. I feel like you're drinking from the fire hose of so much information all the time. How is there any kind of a litmus test? How can we winnow down, right, if we're trying to figure out actual news, what's actually happening in the world? What do you think, Robert?
Well, for us, you know, it's really about coming from a place of, we are an opinion-based show. What we do, even with the live desk to my own personal show on Thursdays, we are right of center. We don't hide that. The same thing is from my time in the mainstream media, which is all the way up in Anchorage, Alaska, where the president will be with Vladimir Putin, of course, the president of Russia, discussing what, God willing, is peace terms between Russia and Ukraine. But there's this belief that an old art form of actually going outside and asking, is the sky blue? Is the grass green? What can bring us together in natural law? And I think that's been the question. A lot of people are even asking, almost as Pontius Pilate did to Christ, what is truth? What is natural law? With all this information that's going all over the place now and things to dive into, there are a lot of people simply not understanding what is natural law, or even saying there is no natural law.
Absolutely.
So men and women of goodwill, do they even exist? It's that question of that. So what we really try to do is cite our sources, because my colleagues who happen to be there were all from the mainstream where it was. And it's sad because it's really actually harmed local news. Mm-hmm. Because I really encourage people, dive into local news, and you see these storms and some of the bigger storms that have been literally and figuratively affecting our country. A lot of people get caught in them. And I asked the meteorologist, I said, is it because people are not watching local news anymore because of this apparatus of fake news? They said, precisely.
Interesting.
Because in the past, you would actually have people watching regularly every single day at 5 o'clock, at 9 o'clock.
Right.
A regular viewer of local news, maybe once or twice a week at that specific time slot. So it's actually, it's good to pay attention to what's happening in your community and not just isolating yourself off into your phone or into your own home. And that was somewhat of a byproduct from COVID.
That's subsidiarity again, right? Obviously, I mean, I don't do that. I have no idea what's going on in my local area. That's interesting. That's great. Chris, you come in sort of from outside of the professional news side. How do you do that? You're going through all of these stories, figuring out what you're going to talk about. Hey, no, it's real.
All right. So my main source of news is the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I start my day, and I spend at least an hour read every single word of the Wall Street Journal every day. So I know over time that the folks writing the news articles are left-leaning.
Sure.
And the opinion page is right-leaning.
Right.
So oftentimes the opinion page is unpacking what happened to the news page. And so you're getting both sides just from one source.
Is that on purpose for the Wall Street Journal? Because it makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense, right? Whereas, you know, New York Times, Washington Post,
everything's left. Right.
I don't know that it's on purpose, but, you know, you have to, I read particular articles, and you know, when I'm reading stuff about what's going on in Gaza right now, mm-hmm. I look and see who the author of the article is.
Mm.
And if it's somebody with a Jewish last name, I know I'm going to get a
sure.
take that's different than somebody with an Arab last name
sure.
on the journalist.
Right.
So, you know, I'm doing a little bit of extra work there.
Well, you're just bringing critical thinking into it, is what it sounds like,
right.
and not just spoon feeding yourself whatever slop is thrown in front of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's tough. It's really easy not to critically think ever about anything. I made the mistake after the election. I was peer pressured into it, all right, by my boss. Of going, once again, after the election, right, I'm in full, we just won the Super Bowl mode. Not how
Yay.
I should be behaving after the election. I go on Twitter, right? I had a Twitter that I got forever ago just so my name, at John Henry Spann, couldn't get taken by anybody ever, right? And so I reactivated. I had never even really been on it. Oh my gosh, it was in all the worst ways, just this feast for the eyes of people that I didn't particularly like politically crying, and people who I liked like jumping up in the air while shooting you know, Roman candles out of both hands. I'm like, this was amazing. And yeah, it does. I can almost feel myself getting dumber and being reduced down to a lower and lower common denominator of just slop, right? And it's because I was not critically thinking, right? I wasn't really digging into who is telling me what and why are they telling me that?
I would build up also upon what Chris and Robert said. As far as, you know, really examining critically your sources, mm-hmm. There are more reliable news sources than others. And usually the most reliable is, what you see yourself.
Right.
And what you hear firsthand accounts from people, which can corroborate what you're hearing and seeing in other places. And you do get to know over time who are reliable journalists, what are reliable sources, and we need to be critical in where we're getting our information from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Father, it's interesting how you talk about who's reliable and who's relatable. That what you said, or kind of along those lines?
I would stick with reliable.
Yeah. Okay, reliable is a better mm-hmm. word. Yeah. Well, that was kind of going to be my take on it, because I have never been super into any kind of news media or news source. Mm-hmm. I kind of just, if it ends up in my social media feed, then okay, I'll look at it, which
oh,
is kind
no.
of the generation that I was born into, but we won't talk about that. I think that the journalists, you know, speaking on kind of behalf of the people that are in my age bracket, you know, a lot of them are, it's almost like a popularity contest mm-hmm. nowadays. You know, it's always about who is most influential, who's the most flamboyant, who's the most fun, wholesome, you know, approachable. Like, who's the guy that you'd go and, you know, get coffee with, or go and kick back and watch football and get a beer with, or sure. at a bar, whatever, you know. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I've kind of adapted that into my news viewing consumption routine. You know, it's, you know, there are certain people that I respond to that I didn't originally respond to, but as I've kind of learned their reporting style and their, you know, just their basic, how they present themselves, you know, that's what made me more interested in listening to them, and not necessarily just because I agree with them politically, but mainly because of their values and how well do I know them, if that makes any sense at all.
How, and I guess this is a Chris and Robert question, well, not how, is there anybody out there, any network out there, any podcast or reporter or what, are there still unbiased, just here's what's going on sources? Did they ever exist? I mean, I guess that...
Oh, I can't answer this. I'm sorry.
Well, you got an answer.
Well, I mean,
you just told us that you were only looking at whatever came across your social media
feed. That's kind of the norm in my age bracket, but it's not anymore, thankfully. I've learned to filter out, you know, and have my own belief system, thankfully. But I kind of feel like, you know, EWTN News Nightly is not politically based. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not Republican, they're not Democrat, they're not even, you know, moderate with a right or left leaning. They just, I personally think John Henry, that's what I thought of when, I mean, yes, they're Catholic, but I mean, Catholic's not a political party.
Right.
And they didn't,
the church does not align perfectly with exactly. either major political party. Yeah.
So, you know, I guess if we had to say it bluntly, yeah, it would be EWTN if anyone has any objection to that, but that's just kind of what I think of. Or CBN even. I mean, CBN kind of, TBN as well, tend to be a little on the Protestant side, but still Christian-based, which is good. But
what about in secular media? Is there anybody?
Someone comes to mind for me, it's Brett Baier, National mm-hmm. Fox. Right. I find him to be someone who really tries to dive in. Mm-hmm. And I knew he was Catholic, but I don't know if he's even affiliated with either party the way he does mm-hmm. vote. It seems as if he's really, at least in interviews, tries to be right down the center with special right. reports. So there's a shout out to him regarding all that. But I've seen it as well, because I'm someone who did not study broadcast journalism. Rather, it fell into my lap, or I guess was God's path in a lot of ways. I studied opera, of all things. Cool. So the arts can be an interesting way of, as a conservative person myself, mm-hmm. I was able to work with a lot of more liberal-leaning people throughout sure. my education. So it wasn't this idea of like, ooh, big, bad, scary. Actually, it was very funny, too, because yeah, I'm very outward with... I ran for state rep last year in Georgia, and I am a Republican as well. You know, right. I'm a proud Republican. I will also challenge, though, especially coming from a media outlet, to get mm-hmm. that information out to people wherever the breadcrumbs lead, so is the consequence,
right.
regardless of that...
Sure.
is earth-shattering for me.
Sure.
At the same time, I will always break bread with someone I disagree with. I will not exit a relationship, especially a friendship, over, oh, we disagree on this issue, because I think it's almost as if it's too easy to do that, and then to keep yourself within this echo chamber.
And there seems to be more and more of that. Maybe
right.
as the echo chambers become sort of more common, people seem to be putting themselves in boxes. Mm-hmm. And I'm tempted to do that sometimes, right? I'm absolutely tempted to say, you know what, I don't even want to bother with X, Y, or Z, with family members even. I don't even want to bother talking. I don't need to go over to that party or that Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, because they're all, and that's gross. Like, I need to, I recognize that that's gross. I still go. I don't want to.
Talk with all those family members, but we won't talk about that now.
So let's dig into, I just would love in the last 10 minutes or so that we have, what are some cool things you're diving into right now? I guess, Robert, I want to hear what you've got going on, but I really want to talk about this whole Ozzy Osbourne thing that y'all were mentioning in the green room earlier.
Right, so what we do is we unpack secular news, and there was... Ozzy Osbourne died a couple weeks ago. There was a follow-up article in the Wall Street Journal about how heavy metal has had this resurgence. And there's bands like we talked about, Ghost, mm-hmm. that are now popular. And my question to Father Daniel was, you know, Ozzy Osbourne started out in Black Sabbath, got kicked out of the band because of drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. and then went out on his own. He famously had the concert where he bit off the head of a live bat.
Right.
then, you know, he was doing all these other crazy things. A lot of times was, you know, doing, you know, his songs and lyrics were, you know, glorifying Satan.
Right.
But they were kind of catchy tunes, you know?
Sure.
And so my question to Father Daniel was, you know, is this harmless fun, or, you know, is this really a problem? So what did you say?
Well, having spoken with and worked with different exorcists over the years, I can say very clearly it's not honest fun. It can be a pathway into the demonic, and there are some very negative elements that are habitually associated with dark music of that type.
Are you talking about the lyrics in particular, or are you talking about the actual instrumentals?
Well, this was actually part of the conversation that we had this morning. It's, yes, definitely the lyrics. You can look at the lyrics, and oftentimes they're glorifying Satan. They're denigrating or blasphemous. So there are problems with the lyrics. But there can be even a deeper problem, and this goes back to, you know, Aristotle in his Poetics talks about the nature of music. Music is something that moves the soul. It affects us. It changes our moods. It can get us riled up and excited. Why do you think that, you know, football games, why do they play these heavy metal music and you know, that's to rile people up? Because, as Aristotle explains, and what we know from modern music theory as well, the rhythm, the bass, the beat, It moves the animal part of the soul. It moves our basal instincts.
Well, it has literal physiological effects.
Clearly.
Right.
All you have to do is watch different types of music and its effect on toddlers.
Mm.
It's really, really fascinating. You can play different types of music and you'll see how those little kids, because they don't have the inhibitions that we do as adults,
right,
the music will literally move them. And there's something to that. When you go out on the dance floor and you can kind of like get rid of your inhibitions, and some people like that, you know, just like get in a moment of like total feeling free, okay? So the music affects us for good or for evil. It can bring us closer to God. It can lead us further away. It can get us more in touch with our emotions, in it, or it can draw out more the animal instinct.
Sure. I mean, to your point, what did armies since the beginning of time do before
drums.
They
drum,
right, the war drums, mm-hmm,
and horns, so
right,
music touches us.
Well, I want to hear what Robert has to say before we go, but I wanted to make sure I mention, anytime heavy metal or any sort of like death metal, dark, right, stuff comes up, I always mention, I don't know if you know the story, I forget the name of the band, but there was some Norwegian or Scandinavian like black metal satanic band, right? Mm-hmm. So they started studying the catechism and the Catholic Church to blaspheme better in their lyrics.
Wow.
To come up with more of it, they ended up all converting to the Catholic faith. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know the name, but I'm sure that if you look up Scandinavian death metal band, converts to Catholicism, it'll be there. What about your, what's something like big and exciting that's been happening recently?
Well, the neat part about this is this major transition from the just covering the Trump rallies, right, to the live desk. And
sure,
giving that, in the same way that every speech, every press conference, every hearing, whether it's the president, the vice president, also Congress, that's our main focus, it shows it in its entirety. We're not editing anything. So we're almost as if C-SPAN, I think, is really one of the only other ones that will do that. So for the policy wonks, you can really look to Right Side Broadcasting Network to dive in and not miss a minute of it. And actually, it was fun on the campaign trail, specifically because of a lot of our counterparts and a dear friend of mine at CBS in Washington. She always watched RSBN just to make sure she got the quotes correct for her piece, because we aired everything. There was no editing of that process. So that's been really special for those to watch that long form and, again, see the long form media taking shape. What I'm personally proud of, 10 episodes into my own personal show on Thursday nights, is that we're diving into all different aspects of American culture. And I'm fascinated, again, by the American people and what they're able to do. It's really something, kind of sounds cliche, but I'm just struck by, when you look back to Butler, Pennsylvania, and the attempted assassination, and now with all of this technology, compare that to JFK or even prior with William McKinley, sure, other assassinations where you didn't have that in real time. Mm-hmm. You had people with the cell phones filming saying, hey, someone's up there. You have all these different angles now as part of this investigation. We now know that 6 Secret Service agents have been suspended as a result. But more people, I do believe, feel they're more engaged in the process. And the thing that struck me about that, that could have been much worse, as we pray for Corey Campitore, his family, mm-hmm, what they went through.
Yeah.
But the masculinity of him defending his wife, his daughters in that process, but also no one trampled anyone else. They could have been right. in fear in that moment. And that's something that struck me about going to so many of these different Trump rallies, whatever your political belief background is that you find a lot of people engaging the political process in a more unique and deep way than they ever have in the past. And part of that's thanks to the technology, part's the entertainment side to it, but really getting to sit down and talk to people about how they feel, and Katie, to your point, new people coming into the fold.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that as a result in the last few years of Barack Obama and Donald Trump mm-hmm. and other people has been really an amazing thing to watch. So it's something that we're very passionate about.
Oh, I wanted it. To say mm-hmm. one more thing. Yes, I'll be very, very fast. I think another good point that is kind of old news at this point, but having two very deeply disagreeing political figures, or not political figures, but people that are in the media and on mainstream TV, Jimmy Fallon and Greg Gutfeld, mm-hmm. which, Gutfeld
yeah.
was on Jimmy Fallon, and I think they had said on The Five, on Fox News The Five, about it being... you know, just being a thing and yeah, no, bringing America together.
I think
together.
It's great. I hope that we can start to have some dialogue and kind of realize that we have more in common than we have different in regards to our humanity and not boil it all down to politics. This was so much fun, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Seriously, I appreciate y'all taking the time. Make sure that you catch up on Crossed Wired Saturdays at 1 and Sundays at 2 right here on The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. And make sure that you check out Robert. What's your new show?
Yes, The Voice of Reason every Thursday night, 6 o'clock.
Thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Over now.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.